When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Goes towards the goal from his stomach there. The shot by Sammy Walker, and it's stopped by Eric Portillo.
You know the difference between hockey and those other sports? You gotta be tough to be a hockey player.
I idolized Dominic Hasek. I played goalie because of Dominic Hasek. My life in hockey has been started because of Sabres hockey. I didn't need playoffs this year. I wanted it, but I didn't need it. But when you screw up for the fans as much as the team has over the last, 5 years, and just don't hold yourself accountable, I'm sorry. I'll hang up and listen. I'm sorry.
Welcome to Two Goalies, One Mic, an in-depth look and behind-the-mask conversation about the greatest game on earth, where everything goes and nothing's off limits.
Now I'll tell you something about this guy.
This is only 3 minutes, eh?
Whammo!
We are here with episode 64 of Two Goalies, One Mic, and we are pleased to be joined by third round pick for the Buffalo Sabres in 2019, going 67th overall, a 2020 World Junior bronze medalist with Sweden, and a first team all-star and USHL goaltender of the year for the Dubuque Fighting Saints, posting a league best 2.11 goals against average. We are joined and pleased to have on Eric Portillo. Eric, thanks for being here, bud.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, excited to have you on, Eric. Ever since Buffalo took you in the third round, I've been really high on you. Not to pump your tires here, but a lot of people, don't really know who you are, but I think the focus has been a lot on Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen here in Buffalo. But whenever people talk about the future franchise goalie of the Sabres, I'm not trying to pump your tires.
No pressure, either, eh?
No pressure, but buddy, I have a lot of I'm very confident that 10, 15 years from now, I'll be able to take that Waugh jersey down in the background here and maybe put up an Eric Portillo. That's how I feel. That's how confident and how I feel about you as a goaltender and your future with this organization.
We're happy to have you. Buffalo's got a rich tradition of hockey here. You still with us, Eric?
Yeah, sorry it's cutting out a little bit, but yeah.
Well, we'll battle through it. We're dealing with some connectivity issues here. But we're thrilled to have you on here. A native of Gothenburg, Sweden. I hope I said that right. Tell me just a little bit about, growing up. When did you get into hockey, and how quickly did you decide to become a goalie?
I mean, I think I started as a player when I was about six, and it was me and my brother. We played together, so someone had to be a goalie, and I really enjoyed the position. I think, pads and the equipment was obviously really cool, but I think the biggest thing for me was just the position in general, that the puck has to go past you to affect my team's play.
And for me, it was the same thing, that ability as a goaltender to have that that chance or that ability every night to affect the game. Obviously, we can never win 0-0, but, if we do our job perfectly, we're going to give our team a chance to win. And that's – it's awesome to hear you say that goalie, that competitor mindset. I know we're going to get into Michigan here, your season in Michigan a little bit later, but you were able to play in Frölunda. It looks like coming up through the U14, U16, U18, which has a rich history there of being a very successful organization, and a lot of big names have came out of there. Your ability to jump over into the best junior league in the country, in the USHL, and in your first year. Have a lot of success, posting 19-5-1 record, Your numbers are great. 2.11 goals against, the 9.15 save percentage. But a lot of times the numbers don't tell the whole story. You were able to come in and have a lot of success. Tell us a little bit about what that was like coming from the big, Olympic size ice rink to North American hockey. It's not easy. And a lot of really good goaltenders have struggled with that in the past, but it looks like you were able to, you know, kind of get into it very quickly and have a great year.
Yeah. I mean, it was definitely a hot topic for us. Me and Seamus in Buffalo, goaltender development coach. Seamus and me have been working really closely together here with this stuff, like with different angles, but also net drives and rebounds and just the all around pressure against the net. It's a lot higher in the North American game. So,
well, you seem to do it.
Yeah.
No, it's not always easy. And, you came in and found a way to do that very, very, very well, very quickly. How did you enjoy your time in Dubuque? Did you like playing in the USHL?
Yeah, I mean, it was a great experience for me. I think, living from home I'm from Gothenburg, so I've been really lucky to be able to live at home and, be home with my parents, have everything fixed for me. But when I got over to Dubuque and living on my own, like, I had great billet parents that took great care of me, but you still were on your own a little more, and I think that was a great experience, like, both off and off on the ice.
Yeah, I mean, it's always big. We talk about it all the time. We kind of call it being a pro, but it's not just what you do on the ice, right? It's learning to, schedule your time, right? Time management, doing the right things off the ice, making sure you eat well and train well. It also probably helped your roommate. He won Player of the Year in the USHL. I'm sure that was fun. I always liked having roommates, but having one that's, a competitor just like you that you get to go head-to-head with every day in practice, that must have been fun.
Yeah, no, Reese Gaber, I mean, he was a great guy. He really took care of me when I came to Dubuque. I mean, he was there 1 year early, so he kind of knew what was going on. And on the ice, he was obviously a fantastic player. He was a real goal scorer, and he still is. So it was a great challenge in practice and, really fun on the rides home from practice to talk about it. And, it was a great time.
Awesome.
Now you do have a development camp under your belt with Buffalo, correct?
I do, yeah.
Yep. We got a picture actually right here. Obviously, nice setup there with the Bowers. Love it.
Good style on the helmet too. Nice paint job.
Yep. What are you using now?
Oh, I'm using the ultrasonic stuff. It's all different specs. I think it's a 1X glove. And then ultrasonic the rest. I'm really happy with it.
Yeah, so, go ahead, Kelly.
No, I mean, I'm a gear nerd. I think, like, we talked about it a little bit off the air. It's one of the best parts about being a goalie, right? Getting to this level, being able to design your own setup, being able to paint your helmet, right? Like, to me, that's a badge of honor. We work so hard to get to this level to have some of those perks. I mean, what was it like the first time you got a painted helmet? Do you remember that feeling of kind of, for me, it was like, I finally made it to that level.
Yeah, no, that was extremely, like, I was really fortunate because I got to do it with Dave Art, my first helmet. So I did a Frölunda mask with Dave Art, which, it's a big dream. Like,
he's awesome, the best in the business. His work is incredible. That's so cool. Dwayne was talking to you about the development camp. I was lucky enough to go to one and get lit up by a couple of the young players. But what was that like for you? The first taste of the National League, jumping in. I know they do some scrimmages there, but it's, how have you been? What was that first experience like walking in, putting that Sabres, that blue and gold on for the first time?
I mean, it was an amazing experience. It's kind of unreal. It's such a big dream to play in the NHL. And, since you started playing hockey, like, it's a big dream for everyone. And, like, to put on that jersey and actually go out there and play, it's just it's a great experience.
That's awesome. I grew up a Michigan fan. My dad went to Ohio State. So me and my brother were big Michigan fans, just purely out of spite, just to root against him. I got to go watch a couple games in Yost, and it's a fantastic rink. I know Dwayne was going to ask you a little bit about that.
Before we get to that, did you get any chance to taste any of the Buffalo cuisine while you were here? Did you get any chicken wings, any of the good food we have in Buffalo?
I did, yeah. I had some chicken wings, and I had some sandwich, too. They said it was
beef on weck. Was it beef on weck?
Maybe, yeah. Maybe,
yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Was it like a salty bun? Was it kind of like a saltier bun?
Exactly, yeah.
Yep, yeah, you have beef on weck, yeah, man. Honest to God, across the entire country, Buffalo will make you a fatter person. That is a guarantee, man. I speak
from personal experience.
Yeah, I got a decent dad bod, man. It's fantastic. Doesn't help me much in that. Not in men's league anymore, but it's the food here is second to none, and that is the absolute truth. Did you blue cheese or ranch? This is a big question with Trainwreck Sports.
I think I went with ranch this time. I'm.
Oh my God! No. You gotta go blue cheese, buddy. Oh, you are the second Sabres prospect to come on the show. We had Aaron Hughlin on a few weeks ago, who just signed his commitment to Big Ten rival Minnesota. You'll be seeing him next year. Yeah, fourth round pick out of Buffalo. I don't know if you watched the I think it was the Hlinka Gretzky Cup. He was the guy from the player from US who scooped it up lacrosse style on his stick and scored against Canada. Fourth round pick of Buffalo. But he said ranch too, man. We were really hoping that you could one up him. But you can never say that again. We won't. We're goalies, so I will not blow you into the public. We will not blow you into the public that you said ranch. But from here on out, you have to be a blue cheese guy. You can never see ranch on wings again. It is a cardinal sin here in Buffalo. They take it very, very seriously. So, with that being said, though, obviously this year in Michigan, you played outstanding. You had a phenomenal freshman year. Obviously, you your goalie partner was Strauss Mann, who also had a great year. You guys, I believe, were ranked 2 in the nation before you guys had to back out because of COVID, which upset me a lot because, again, I'm a big Michigan guy, and I had you guys winning the whole thing. And what was it like, playing? What was it like not having crowds there? Because obviously one of the biggest things about college hockey is just that atmosphere that it gets your blood pumping, your adrenaline going. Like, you're like, holy shit, man, I've never seen anything like this. And I mean, maybe you have obviously over in Sweden, but like this, it's insane. And to not have that, what was it like playing in front of no crowd at all? And do you think it's going to be a big culture shock for you to see those diehard Michigan Wolverine fans just losing their effing minds? I'm going to try and keep this PG-13, but losing their fucking minds here next season. Are you looking forward to that? Do you think it's going to affect your game at all?
Yeah, I mean, that's what all the older guys are talking about, like how incredible it is to play in Yost and like the atmosphere. I think it might have been made the transition easier to play without the crowd in the beginning, but obviously you're looking for that excitement and that extra it adds something to the game for sure. So now I'm really excited for that next year.
I got a bit of a culture shock when I went to Europe and played in Prague and in Slovakia. You know how they have the drums up there and the chants, yeah. That to me is really cool, and that's the closest thing we have to college hockey, right? Like, lots of chants, the fans are in it, and I always got pumped up. I love those games, especially when you're on the road. I can't wait for you to go in and shut down Ohio State next year so I can chirp my dad a little bit. But an awesome bunch of rivalries playing for Michigan. A very storied franchise. Obviously, Red Berenson being there forever. With the new coach now. What's your time been like at Michigan? How have you enjoyed it? You guys had a pretty good year. You yourself had a great year.
Unbelievable year.
What's some of your favorite things about being a Wolverine?
I mean, it's been amazing. And considering that we lived in a COVID bubble there with testing every day and couldn't see anyone, I still had probably the best time of my life. It was such a great experience, just, you know, being on campus and hanging around my teammates and yeah, just the atmosphere, like traveling with the team and everything. It was a fantastic experience, all of it.
I have one more question on that note. Obviously, we touched on how crazy this year was in the hockey world, you know, living in the bubble, not even being sure if we were going to get a full season in, and then things kind of ramping up quickly there in December. You got your first start, again, no pressure, against Ohio State in January, got the win with 19 saves. Tell me a little bit about that. You know, any nerves there early, and were you able to settle in? It looks like you were able to settle in there and pick up the win against the rival, but what was that like?
Yeah, I mean, I came in a tough spot there with Strauss, like being really good. And I mean, goaltender of the year and captain and all of that. And I really had to battle all fall to get my chance. And when I finally got it, I mean, it was exciting, but I knew I had to deliver.
I mean, anytime you have a strong goalie partner, especially in that case with Strauss being, like you said, a captain and being a successful guy, it forces us to elevate our own game.
Exactly. Yeah, I think we pushed each other. Like it was we had a good relationship off the ice, but on the ice it was obviously hard competition, and I think it developed us both.
Awesome. Wanted to talk to you a little bit about being able to you know, compete in World Juniors in 2020. You know, you guys had a lot of talent on that team. I think Adam Boqvist was on your roster, right? And Jacob Olofsson, Rasmus Sandin. You know,
unbelievable squad.
Being able to represent your country, the Trek North, what was that like? How cool of an experience was that, going into there and being able to compete against the best of the best for you know, country on country for U20?
I mean, I think like, just, you know, when you were younger and we're looking at the World Juniors, like you really were looking up to these guys who played in it. And I think, like, I couldn't really believe when I got the chance to do it that, like, I would be that guy. And it was just such an amazing experience to be there. Like, you live in this little bubble and you don't really realize how big it is until you get out of it and see it from the outside and see all the highlights and so on.
Yeah,
that must have been awesome. I going into that, you know, being able to represent your country, playing it. Who did you guys play in the semifinals? Do you remember?
I think we lost against Russia.
And they had a great team there. The U.S. battling it out. So, were you able to get the start? I'm not able to pull it up here. Were you able to play in that bronze medal game?
I wasn't, unfortunately. I mean, I came in, it was obviously two great goaltenders, but then I also had some back issues during that season. And
anytime, especially, it's such a condensed schedule for the World Juniors, anytime that you have an injury, especially with your back as a goaltender, every rotation we do, everything's kind of coming from that core back area. I can't imagine going through that, especially, you know, in such a short period of time. But still, what an experience being able to capture that medal and be able to come back home. I know that you guys get a ton of support from your fellow countrymen. So that must have been awesome. Looking ahead to next year, what are you trying to do now that, you know, anything planned for, you know, obviously, I think you guys are still going to do a rookie development camp, right, in Buffalo?
Yeah, I hope so. I honestly haven't heard anything, but I hope so.
It's interesting. We're living in unprecedented times with, you know, dealing with the pandemic, and it's not an easy path to make it to the NHL in a normal year. And throwing this at the prospects has got to be tough. Me and Dwayne were talking about it. Mm-hmm. So for you to be able to battle through that, I'm sure it's only going to make you mentally stronger. But what are your – I wanted to ask you, growing up, we've seen so many great Swedish netminders come through the NHL and have so much success. Who were guys that you looked up to when you were younger, or even guys that you maybe try to model your game after? Anybody that comes to mind?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, Henrik Lundqvist is, he went through the same like program as I did, like with Frölunda, their junior program. And then, you know, I mean, he's just a king. Like he's,
I love it.
The guy everyone looks up to. So yeah, he's definitely my biggest inspiration growing up.
He's such a stand-up guy too, man. Like it's like, for me, he's like the hockey version of, for me, it's like Tom Hanks. He can do no wrong. Like, I'm not sure, you're familiar with Tom Hanks is, but it's like pretty much if you read in the news tomorrow that like Tom Hanks or Henrik Lundqvist punched a nun in the face, the first thing you think of is, well, what did that nun do to Henrik Lundqvist to get, like, because he's just that good of a guy. Like, you have nothing bad to say about him. He can literally do no wrong. And like, it's just like, even if you're a fan of a rival team, it's like, you gotta love Hank. Like you gotta. Yeah. It's just the way it is, man. He's the king, like you said. I've been, you know, fortunate enough in my time growing up watching hockey to watch some unbelievable goaltenders. You know, 2 out of 3 in the back there. Sorry, Cully. You know, with Dominik Kashuk and you know, Ryan Miller. You know, just a couple names. Obviously, with Hank. It's been such a privilege to watch him play over the years and watch him develop. Him amongst the guys like Roberto Luongo is another one of my old time favorites. He was always fun to watch. Never could get it done, you know, when it mattered in the playoffs. But like this guy was just unbelievable to watch. Johnny Quick. We actually have another one of your countrymen coming on the show in a week with us. Jonas Enroth. He'll be coming on with us. I'm not sure how familiar you are with him. I know obviously. Yeah, I'm sure you've watched him a little bit growing up, but you know we're a big advocate of the smaller goaltenders who made it, and that's who Yoni was. Enroth was a guy who was 5'10", made it in the National, and played very well for Buffalo for a while. Yeah. I think he went to Dallas after that, and just you know he had a good career, and we're excited to have him on here in a week.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Yep.
I was curious. We've seen. We've seen Sweden and Finland really do a great job developing their young goaltenders. And you look at the percentages now with how many have had success in the NHL back when not even 20, you know, 25 years ago, you had the occasional European goalie, but it was mainly North American, you know, Canadian guys. What is something that you feel that Sweden does really well with your development at a young age? And how has that helped them produce such elite goaltenders?
Sorry, you cut out a little bit.
I'm just asking, what has Sweden done so well in regards to how you guys have been able to develop goaltenders? What are some of the training methods you guys use that have allowed you guys to really produce some world-class goaltenders?
I definitely think, like, having a lot of goalie coaches and from a young age. I mean, I had a goalie coach from the day I started playing hockey, basically, like, And that was pretty different when I came to the USA, like to the USHL, and like just how you look at goaltenders. I feel like here it's more about like the goaltending coach, like coming in and doing a session in 30 minutes and then leaving. While in Sweden, like when I was in Frölunda, my goalie coach was on for 30 minutes before practice and we did stuff. And then he was also on with the players during our normal practice and like coached me during that. So I think that's a big part of it. A lot of really good goaltending coaches and interested people.
That's fascinating to me. And it really shows how that different mindset has you know, worked out in the favor of the Swedes and the Finns. And I know that USA Hockey and even Hockey Canada, they're starting to change and copy that style, right? Implementing more goalie coaches at a young age. That's what I do for a living now. And it's just been fascinating for me because you look at, you know, Swedish goalies and Finland goalies have really kind of helped develop the position, right? Like when we talk about the development and the usage of the RVH for post play and how that wasn't really widely used back even 10 years ago when I played, you know, it was just all VH on the post. Mm-hmm. To see that in the forefront. So do you have a one goalie coach that you use back home, or do you work with multiple guys? Is there somebody that you mainly work with?
I work with two guys. I've been working with a guy during the summers. That's his name is Mikkel Sandberg. He played in Frölunda. And yeah, he's been really successful as a goalie coach, developed a lot of good prospects. And then my old or my former coach in Frölunda, Peter Anderson, we usually do a couple sessions every summer to, you know, get some work done. So those that's are the awesome. Major guys.
Yeah, that's another thing too, like as Kali said before, is like, you know, goalie coaching for us growing up wasn't like so like accessible, I guess is the word. Like
you went to a camp in the summer. That
yeah.
was there.
Yeah, there was no guy coming like
goalie coaches, yep.
There was no guy coming on practice 30 minutes beforehand working with goalies and what like not like what it is today, where, you know, it's just, you know, it's common just to have a goalie coach on every single staff, no matter what level you're playing at, you know, above maybe like midget or Bantam. Like you, every team has a goalie coach. And it wasn't like I essentially just tried to watch whatever videos I can and tried to like I was more self-taught than anything. And it's nice to see how far the position has come, especially over the last decade, in terms of like you said, like the VH and the RVH wasn't really a thing when we played. Like I remember going to my first goalie coaching clinic with USA Hockey and they said RVH. I had no clue what they were talking about. Like what? Like what's an RVH? Like no clue, because I remember during an interview with Michigan, Eric, you said you're more of a hybrid blocking goaltender. Do I have that correct?
Yeah.
I don't put myself in that category, but that I was a blocking goaltender. You know, I tried to just stay in front of pucks. I was a butterfly goalie, but you know, I tried to do whatever I could to be more of a blocking style goaltender. And you know, hearing that you've applied that to your game as more of like a hybrid version of it, and then watching you play throughout the year, it's been a lot of fun to watch because you do see some of that old style in your game. Whereas again, it's a lot different nowadays compared to what it used to be, but you do see a lot of that old style goaltending in your game, and I love to watch it. That's what really turned me on to watching you over the last year, especially is just, you know, seeing. Again, I keep saying it—that old style in your game.
Yeah, I mean, I have some poke checks and you know, a little bit of that stuff going on, and I think it's important to, like, you know, not to be too tied up into technique and like just doing the same stuff every time. I think you have to play a little with your, just, you know, get loose and just play the game. Trust your hockey sense a little bit, and yeah, I think that's what it comes from.
Great point. I couldn't agree more. A lot of things that, like you just said, I run into it all the time with young goalies, is they're so concerned and caught up with making sure they're technically right, they lose track of that our main job is to stop the puck, right? They don't ask how we do it, they ask how many we stop. So, yeah. And it's so awesome to hear that. It's refreshing. And I'm sure all the young goaltenders, we have a ton that listen to the show, are going to be thrilled to hear that. And it's going to have a great effect on them, because it's been, I don't want to say an epidemic in the sense of it, but, you know, we want to be positionally sound, right? Because everything we do comes back to angles. But at the same time, we have to be warriors and just able to keep that puck out of the net. And you can be the most positionally sound goalie and technically great, but you also have to have that battle, right? That ability to make a, you know, a sloppy save, for lack of a better word. And you mentioned the poke check, and one thing, and I was really impressed.
Poke check guy.
Well, and watching you play, and granted, I've only seen, you know, a couple of Michigan games in highlights, but having an active stick, not only with poke checks, but being able to block passes from behind the net, right? And I was a big fan. I think I saw maybe a fake poke check. Maybe I'm wrong. I love doing that. A little bit of a fake poke check. So it's just great to see all those elements of your game come together. And you're a great skater, right? Able to track the puck really well. Have you done anything to really work on, you know, head trajectory and your ability to track the pucks?
Sorry, you cut out the last part there. I heard
if you've worked on yet, either back home or with Buffalo, like head trajectory and puck tracking.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good it's interesting that you bring it up, because that's like my big topic this summer, to really get better at that. I mean, it's something I think every goaltender needs to work on. And a guy that was probably one of the best I've seen is Strauss. Like, he was extremely good at tracking pucks.
Especially off of his body, tracking rebounds. He was great at it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a smaller goalie, so he really, like, his technique was, like, perfection. Like, he was really good. So I really tried to learn from that and learn from how he tracked the puck and, like, yeah, just overall, like, use his body to optimize.
That's a great point.
How was that relationship with Strauss? Like, you know, obviously, you mentioned earlier you came into a difficult situation with him kind of being established himself as a starter. Coming into your freshman year and having the season you did, again, you played seven games, but you had a 1.67 goals against. I mean, in my opinion, I don't care if it's seven games or 17 games, putting up those kind of numbers, that's a standout freshman year. I don't care what anybody says. You had a standout freshman year in a very difficult conference in the Big Ten. Doesn't matter who you're playing. Every single game is a challenge. And I remember, you know, some games against Notre Dame that you had were real fun to watch, some of your play there. You know, what was that relationship with like with him?
I mean, I would say we started off really good. I mean, we had a good relationship from the first day. Like, he came and picked me up, like, the first day I was in Ann Arbor, and brought me to the dorms and showed me around. And I think from that day, like, we really developed, as I said earlier, like, a good relationship off the ice, but on the ice it was always like tough competition. I mean, it needs to be, and we were two guys who wanted to play, and I knew that I needed to deliver, like, when I got the chance. So
you pushed him.
It was good. Yeah, we pushed each other. It was really good.
And it's only gonna, like, the more you climb the ladder of professional hockey or college hockey, right? Like, that's never gonna go away. You're always gonna have somebody either pushing you or trying to take your job. So I think it's really important that you had that relationship, because it's not always like that. Like, as goalies, we all know we've had a goalie partner at some point where we didn't have a great relationship, and
their mother fucking you behind your back.
Yeah, right. Like,
yeah, I mean, 100%, 100%.
That analogy that, like, you always want your partner to do well, but, like, you want them to win, like, 8-7, right? Like, you want the team to do well, but yeah, you want to have that opportunity. And I had a few goalie partners that it was tough. We really didn't communicate. But then I got to play with Jack Campbell, and he had a great season with the Toronto Maple Leafs. I'm sure you're familiar with him, Eric.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
so I played with Jack, and he was actually committed to Michigan, but ended up coming to the OHL. And Jack had every reason to hate me, Eric, because I came in, I was supposed to be his backup. He struggled a little bit, and I started taking starts away from him. But it was the complete opposite. Jack was the best guy ever, the best goalie partner I've ever had, encouraging me, you know, sharing information. We would go compete in practice, and I'm sure that you and Strauss had that this year. You know, maybe in, like, at the end of a practice, like a shootout 10 puck game, or even any, you know, like, small area games where you get to compete against him. And you pushing him and wanting to be better than him, and him being better than you, but you guys having that dynamic not only helps the both of you, but helps everybody on the ice with you, right? And it's fun to see that, and it's only going to be something you look back on and be able to have you know, have that is something that helped you become successful. Now, have you got to with the goalies in Buffalo with UPL? Have you gotten to spend time with him or any of the other draft pick goaltenders? Anybody in the system?
I haven't. I talked to Jonas before, because he was my roommate at the development camp. So we have actually been in touch a couple times and see each other on the airports and stuff. So yeah, no, he's been really good, and I'm really happy that he's doing great in Colorado. Like, he's a great guy. I haven't talked to Uko at all, because he was hurt, I think, when we were there. And since then, I haven't been a lot in Buffalo because of COVID. So, yeah.
Well, I'm sure it'll be fun to, once you get there and able to form relationships, right? Like, you guys are going to be able to push each other. And I mean, the future is bright in net for the Buffalo Sabres, and we haven't been able to say that, Dwayne, in so long.
Oh, it's wild. There's a number two because, you know, between Dominik Hasek, again, I'm not sure how familiar with the history of the Dominator back behind me is, but between Hasek and Ryan Miller, the two kind of like the last, you know, to go from Hasek to Miller was, you know, we're humble for that. But I think there was only four goalies to start for Buffalo in between Hasek and Miller. I think between Miller and to now, it's like over 20, you know, yeah, since Miller was traded. And, you know, we're still searching for that guy. And like I said earlier, you know, I know there's a lot of hype around UPL, and he's a good goaltender. He's a great goaltender. But, you know, I'm looking at the guy right here that I think is going to, you know, put this franchise back on the map. And I don't mean to put you on any type of pedestal.
Once again, no pressure, eh?
No pressure, kid. But, like, I want a Portillo jersey. I want it on my wall, and I want it signed because I've been calling it since your standout year in the USHL with Dubuque. I've been calling it. He said, this kid is the future of this franchise. And I, like, two goalies, one mic, right, Cully?
Absolutely, you know, buddy.
When he retires, it'll be three goalies, one mic. He'll hop on, be the next co-host. I love to see it. I love to see it. But, it's been a lot of fun here with you, Eric. But what was draft night like for you when you got the phone call from Buffalo? Did you have conversations? I think at the time it was with 2019, correct, Cully?
Yeah.
2019. It would have been Jason Botterill. Did you have any conversations with Buffalo beforehand? Did you have an idea that they might be taking you? Were you excited? Well, obviously, I'm assuming you were excited. I hope you were excited when Buffalo gave you the call.
So I was lucky enough to come over to their, to Buffalo's, combine.
Yep.
I think it was like a week before, the actual draft. So then I kind of got to meet all the staff and everyone there, which was a great experience. So from that experience, I kind of knew, I mean, I was on their radar, but I wasn't sure. I was really nervous, and it was a big day. So yeah, I was thrilled when I saw my name there.
That's awesome.
It's a whirlwind process. Like you mentioned that Buffalo had their combine, and I want to share this with the fans. We talked off air about it. We're all aware of the NHL.
Tell them your sock story. Tell them your sock story. Just tell them.
Oh, okay.
Tell them your sock story.
You know how like NHL Central Scouting, the guys that make the draft list and do all that stuff, you know when they come to measure you?
Yeah.
So when my rookie year in the OHL, when they came to measure me, because I'm only 5'10 and a half, I wanted to be labeled as 6 foot. So I put on like 9 pairs of socks and I walked in to have them measure me. So I'm next in line and I get up there and they're like, okay, hop on to get measured. And I'm like, okay. They're like, take your socks off. So I'm sitting there, Eric, with 9 pairs of socks in front of these NHL guys. And I don't want to take off 9 pairs right in front of them. So I just said, oh, I got to go to the bathroom. And I ran out of there. And they're probably like, what the hell is wrong with this guy? So long story short, I wasn't able to get those extra 2 inches. I had that label as being a 5'10" and a half goaltender, but you know, I battled through it. A couple 2-pad stacks too many, maybe for my likings.
2-pad jammers. But
I always love the jammers.
Love the jammers.
No, that's great. No, but I wanted to bring it up. So a lot of fans don't realize this, and I know I had no idea, even leading up into this, that each team actually does their own combines, and it's not just one. They'll have different groups of players in. Like when I went to my combine, it was a week before the draft. I was there with Mark Scheifele from the Winnipeg Jets. They had him in. They had Adam Clendenning, and they had Sven Barchi, and it was a really cool group, right? Just being with them. I was the only goalie out there for that. But you know, just take us through that. What was the combine like? Was it just you as the goaltender and they just run through drills, right? That's what mine was like. It was like, almost like a skill session, right? With a lot of testing in there.
So we did a goalie session and, some strength tests, and then they had like an interview thing, and you know, we had to, I mean, obviously eat. So we ate with like I think I had a dinner or a meal with Jason Botterill, like just sitting with him, eating and, you know, getting to know each other, or them getting to know you. So, yeah.
That's really cool. And that's maybe people not that haven't gone through that. That's a huge part of it, right? Like they do their due diligence watching you play on the ice. But I think it's fascinating. Like I had to take one of those Wonderlic tests, like a written test. I don't know if they still do that test.
Yeah, they do a bunch of different tests.
It's just an interesting process, right? Like going through that, you dream of, you know, hearing your name called, but I don't think we necessarily realize all of the stuff that goes into it and just how important the off the ice stuff is, right? Just seeing what the fit's like. And it's nerve wracking, right? You dream of this your whole life and then you're there and you're kind of nervous, but you're also confident in yourself. It's a tremendous experience. I was never able to hear my name called, but you were, and that's just a testament to the hard work that you've done and all the sacrifices you've made to get to this point. And so early on in your career, we know bright things are coming, and everything that you've put into your game. One thing being some phenomenal gear wear. I'm just looking at your Michigan setup right now, the Bauer graphic with it almost looks like the Wolverine coming through the side. That really pops with the white on the outline of that. And then the helmet, phenomenal. I've seen a lot of different reiterations.
I'll see if I can pull it up.
Goalies that have the that try to match the Wolverines. And I think you did a great job, not just with that, but I think it's the, what is it, like claw marks coming through the side? How would you describe that?
Yeah, it's like kind of claw marks. It's inspired from the pads. That's actually Dave Art. He came up with that idea kind of. He's amazing to work with.
That's awesome. I mean, you mentioned it earlier. We take a lot of pride as goalies into our gear, right? And phenomenal looking setup. I switched to Bauer my last year, Eric, because I was wearing Reebok CCM before that and Vaughn a little bit. But when I made the switch to Bauer, Todd Brown was my rep. Is Brownie still the goalie guy for Bauer?
No, I have Tim Boron is his name right now.
I just remember my experience with Bauer was awesome. Their ability, they brought me in front, they had all the sets of gear they made for different pro guys with different specs. And they were really willing to go above and beyond, even for a guy like me, like an undrafted guy, to really get it right, to get the pad to feel right. Did you have that same experience with the Bauer guys?
Yeah, Bauer's been awesome, like, to me. I've been in Bauer since, I mean, the day I started playing hockey, I think. I mean, it was just a dream. Like the first time I got to get the best pads and like spec them out exactly like I wanted to. So, and I mean, yeah, they've been really good at helping me out with whatever I wanted to.
Yeah, so, that is a sexy setup. Oh my god!
And Dwayne, did you get the picture I sent with you with Lundqvist? So we'll wrap this up soon here, Eric. I just have a couple quick questions. So we got the picture here. I found of you on the ice with the King, and we talked earlier about it. What a cool role model to have! Must have been an unreal experience to be able to be on the ice with your idol, right? With one of your heroes. Take us through what that was like quickly.
That was a fantastic experience. I mean, it was actually unreal. We just seeing him practice and how hard he works still at that age. Like, that was just like, it was inspiring and like a wake up call that like how hard you have to work to be the best. Because I think in my opinion, like he's one of the best, if not the best. So, I mean, just seeing how hard he works and just looking over the ice and seeing him like in his gear and something you only been watching in videos and highlight tapes like your whole life. That was just an awesome experience.
One of those things where you have to, you know, pinch yourself or spray some water on your face to make sure this isn't a dream, right?
Seriously.
So cool. His attention to detail, his ability to play deeper in his net. It's just a testament to his ability to read the play. I think when you're talking about goalies' ability to read the play, obviously Hasek and Brodeur are up there. But I think for me, Lundqvist is at the top of the list. You're only able to play that deep with two things. You have to have unbelievable hand-eye coordination and head trajectory, right? And you have to be able to pick up sticks and read plays as they're entering the zone and continuing to shoulder check, one of the best ever, if not the best ever. And you know, hopefully, you know, a couple clicks for him and his rehab. I know he dealt with some injuries here, and hopefully he can get back with Washington next year and have some success. Yeah. I'm really pushing him
to win a cup, man. I was.
I have one last question before I go. Dwayne, did you want to go get one out before I leave?
No, you go right ahead. Ask your question, and I'll wrap it up.
So, for me, it's what are some of your goals, you know, this summer? Anything in particular that you know you're trying to get better at? Whether it's, you know, improving your post play or you know, certain situations. And that's the first part. I'll let you answer that first. Go ahead.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think I touched on it a little bit earlier, like
the puck tracking.
Yeah, the head trajectory and like really following the puck with my eyes, like making sure like my shin and everything like moves first. I think that's a big point this summer. And then also like I've been working a lot with like really want to build a good game plan and like a really strong foundation for myself that I can really like believe in and trust in. I think that's important. Like we talked about it, like, you know, with the poke checks and everything, like you need that part. But I also think like to be consistent, you have to have a great game.
That's a great answer. I know he got cut off, but what an awesome answer.
Yep.
Let me know when you're back here, bud.
Sorry, did I cut out?
No, you got most of it out.
You got most of it out.
It's a great answer. And we talk about that cliche of being a pro, and you nailed it, and you hit it on the head. My last question here before I got to dip out to practice, and it's kind of redundant. You've talked about it a bit, but if you're talking to the Sabres fan and as a whole, you know, what should they look forward about Eric Portillo?
You're stealing my thunder.
How would you describe your game and what can they look forward to? What makes Eric Portillo great?
I think what makes me good or what have like taken me to where I am is my ability to compete. Like I think I'll do whatever it takes to win, and I'll, you know, I think, yeah, just my compete, and yeah, I really want to win. Like that's my number one goal. Every time I go out there, it doesn't matter like the score, or if I have a shutout, or that's secondary things to me. To win, I think that's my biggest strength and what I always want to do.
And that's a big deal. That is a big deal with this fan base, because win or lose, if you show us that you care and this means something to you, and wearing that sweater means as much to you as it means to us, you know, we go out and spend our money to buy it. Like this fan base, win or lose, we will follow you. We will fight for you in a dark alley. You know, all the cliche sayings, we will have your back no matter what. And that's just the way we are in Buffalo, man. We're a small market, but we're a hockey city. You know, I know there's been a lot, you know, a lot of success here with the Bills, the Buffalo Bills with the NFL, but like, you know, we are a hockey city too, man. And we really do love this team, and we do care about our players, and we just want them also to care as much as we do. And that's again, for a year now, over a year now, I've looked at you as that type of a competitor and that type of a guy. I am friends with Steve Shields, your coach over there in Michigan. You know, he's a great guy, unbelievable guy. You know, and we've had him on a couple times, and we had him on to talk about you. And that was one of the things he brought up, is like, he's an unbelievable competitor, and he will never not stop trying to get to the next level. And that's what you're getting out of him. And he is going to be a perfect fit here in Buffalo. And that's why I'm so confident in you being the next guy, the next jersey we all buy. I know Cully kind of stole my thunder there a little bit with that question, but you know, you wear
Before you ask your question, I got to go. Eric, thank you again for your time. Time to go teach the next generation of American goalies here. Awesome. I really appreciate it, man. I'll be rooting for you. Can't wait to have you back on. Go Blue.
Go Blue. But what brought you to wear the number one? You know, it's not a goal. It's not a number that's used that often anymore. You know, was it a situation where your number was taken by Strauss Mann? Or, you know, I know Jonas wore it while here in Buffalo. Is there a reason why you wear the number one? Or
I think you know, as I said before, like I really like Lundqvist. So when I was younger, I wore like 30. And then 30 wasn't really a choice anymore. So I went to 31. And then when I came to Frölunda, I didn't really have a choice, like coming into the academy there. So then I got number one, and yeah, I've just stuck with it since then.
That's a great answer, because it's, you know, you're kind of paving your own path. Obviously, like I wore 39 growing up. Hasek's the reason I started playing. He was my inspiration to even play the position, and you know, I wore his number growing up. But yeah, you're paving your own path with that number, and you know, you're again, it's going to be a hot jersey when you come to Buffalo. I can guarantee that. I'm excited to see you play. You know, I hope to get up to Yost with Cully and a couple of guys from Trainwreck. My last question, though, is obviously you guys had a phenomenal team here this past season with Power, Beniers, and Johnson, three guys who are probably going to get taken in the top 10 to 15 picks in this next draft. You know, what was it like competing against players of that caliber?
I mean, our team was stacked, and next year as well. Like, I think, you know, every day in practice, you really have a game type scenario where, like, you play against some of the best guys.
In the nation.
In the nation, yeah, for sure. I mean, it's a great challenge, you know, playing with Owen in front of you or having Kent taking penalty shots against you, like, all of that stuff is just it's just a great experience, and I think it really develops you. I mean, I feel like you take big steps when you practice against those guys, and it really helps you, like, being pushed. So it's awesome.
I know Maddie got hurt over there in Worlds, but Owen also had himself a tournament. Obviously, they won the whole thing. But he's a man child. I mean, I can't remember, you know, a guy going first overall, because he's projected to go first overall. And obviously, you know, Buffalo won the draft lottery. So there's a good chance Owen or Beniers are going to be Buffalo Sabres come draft night. Yeah. And, you know, seeing a guy the size, I mean, I love Beniers' two-way game. But if I had to guess, I think Owen's probably going to go first overall. He's an absolute man child. He's 6'5". 220 pounds, right? There's one thing you can't teach, and it's size. Can you give us some insight on his game? You know, like, what could, if Buffalo were to pick either Matty Beniers or Owen Power, what would we be getting, you know, from a goalie's perspective? Because only you guys can tell it honestly the way it can be told, because they're the ones shooting on you. So what would Buffalo be getting out of either of those two players?
I mean, from Owen, I think just his poise with the puck, like, I you don't see him make mistakes. He's so sharp. He's so smart. He makes hockey look easy. I think that's a big part of, like, his game. Like, he makes it look so easy because he's just so big. So with his reach and with his skating ability and his smartness, it just doesn't look hard at all for him when both playing D, but also, like, in the offensive zone. And with Maddie, I think just his speed, skill, I think he also really doesn't stop skating. He's working so hard on the ice, so he always works himself into good spots and good opportunities. I think that's a big part of his game.
Yeah, I'm excited to see how you guys shake out. I'm not saying that Owen or Maddie can't be the type of guys that make the jump into the NHL next year, but, you know, I mean, there's a chance also they could be returning to Michigan next year. And I am excited to see what you guys have in store, because I think, you know, you guys were my front runner for a national championship this season. I really want to see you guys take a run at it, because we have a friend of the program, Anthony Day, years ago, who won it with Yale. And he told us about the experience about winning a national title, and he goes, it's a surreal experience, and it's probably gonna go down, unless you win a cup, like the best, you know, accomplishment of your entire career, because it's so hard to win. It's so hard to get there to begin with. And you know, I appreciate the insight you gave us on both those kids. Before we let you go, going back on Steve Shields again, what's the one thing you took from him, a former pro, obviously? Have you seen any of his highlights from when he played in Buffalo? Did you ever see the infamous Garth Snow fight?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, man, we love talking about that. Because Garth Snow was a goalie heavyweight, man. Like, he got into a lot of fights. And it takes a big set of balls to skate down towards Garth Snow and challenge that man to drop the glove. The guy could fight for a goalie. And he's fought Matt Barnaby here before in Buffalo. He's fought plenty over his career. But obviously, Stevie, you know, he had a good career in Buffalo, specifically in 96, 97, you know, when Hasek went down with a groin, I think it was a knee injury. He helped secure that first round victory, made himself a career, and then, you know, he went to San Jose and had a good career there. Like, you know, what have you taken from Steve as a coach? You know, what has he shown, what has he taught you? What's the one thing that, you know, you take the most, you've implemented the most into your game and has helped you progress over this past season?
I mean, in general, like, he's been helping me with so much stuff, like, but I think the biggest thing I take away is probably, like, he told me, like, to really make it my job, like, to really play hockey professionally. You have to make the same stuff over and over and really, like, yeah, you have to be really good at doing the same stuff over and over again. And just be really good at it. To be able to make it your job is really hard. And, you know, I can play with my hockey sense, but I need to be able to have a strong foundation and a game plan, as we talked about, like, to be able to take that next step to the pro level where, yeah, I can be, like, continuously good, like, every night. 'Cause it's, I mean, in the NHL, where I want to get to, there's 82 games, and it's really tough to be good every game. So that's why you have to have such a good foundation to stand on.
Especially with him back when he played. Like I said, he played behind Dominic Hasek here in Buffalo. So obviously, you know, here in Buffalo, we're all in agreement. He is the best to ever play the game. And, you know, there isn't really any goalies from that era who has more individual hardware than Dom. But obviously, like you mentioned earlier, having to compete with your counterpart, bringing that compete. And he even said, like, Dom's competitive level in every single practice was second to none. So having to try and keep to that level, you have to put the work in every single day, you know, and like you said, make it your job. And I think, you know, you have to have the passion for it. You have to have the drive for it. And, you know, I completely agree with what Steve says there, because he wouldn't have played ahead as long of a career as he did had he not done just that, because it was a lot different for goalies back then. The equipment was smaller. I mean, maybe the shooters weren't as good, but he was still going up against guys like Gretzky and Jagr and, you know, some of the best the game has ever given us. And the equipment wasn't what it like is today. I know I played with a lot of the equipment. It was a lot heavier. Let me tell you, my setup in high school, both of my pads together, their weight was like, I'm trying to explain. Oh yeah, both of my pads now, I have a Warrior setup.
Yeah.
If you're to put the weight of those pads together, wouldn't have even equaled the weight of one of my pads back in the day. That's how heavy. I used the Louisville TPS, and the equipment was so much heavier. You know, I actually still have my mask back here. I was a big Curtis Joseph fan.
Yeah.
And this was my mask growing up. And there that goes. That fell. But this was my mask growing up, the old Cujo setup.
Sick.
You know, there's lots of dents in this, a lot of marks. But if you see right in there, that dent, that actually happened the first week I got it. Guy just absolutely sends a cannon from the top of the face-off circle, hardest, you know, biggest defenseman on the team, 6'4", 200-something pounds, and just unloads a cannon on me, hits me square in the head, sends my head straight back. I show my dad that helmet that he just dropped $300 on. Show him, and he's like, are you kidding me? Like, what kid was that? I'm gonna go ring him out. I'm like, no, Dad, I want this, because that's like, for me, that was like, you know, a coronation into that level of hockey. It's like, I love that thing's there. Granted, like, my ears are ringing when it happened, but it was awesome. And but the equipment was so much different back then, man. The gloves were so much bigger, which was a big advantage for us back then. Like, if I were to show you my high school glove, it was like twice the size of what you guys are using today. It was awesome. It took away a lot of that glove side. But again, Eric, I appreciate you coming on with us, man. I know we kept you a little bit longer than we said.
No problem.
But man, it's been an absolute pleasure. Again, I said it before and I'll say it again. I'll say it 100 times over. I am so excited for what your career, the promise of it, and you know what's to come this next season for you at Michigan. I really think you're gonna take what you started in those games that you did start. Like I said before, 1.67 goals against, that's nothing to you know cough at or whatever the saying is. I'm not good with those cliches, but it's gonna be fun to see, you know, you pick up where you left off as a full-time starter here at Michigan next year. And really show, you know, the nation that Eric Portillo is the real deal and he's the future franchise goaltender of the Buffalo Sabres.
Thank you so much for the kind words. I mean,
no. I know I keep pumping your tires, buddy, but I'm trying to tee myself up for a Portillo jersey. Maybe if I get to Michigan, maybe get myself a Wolverines jersey to hang up on this wall over here. I'd love it. I'd love it.
Sure.
But you know, again, we've talked about coming down to Yost. I hope if we do, man, you'll get maybe some I know you're not of age, but maybe get a soda pop or two with us, and we could have a good night. Maybe even around draft night, we'll see. But this has been episode 64 of Two Goalies, One Mike. I am Dwayne Forcully. This is Eric freaking Portillo, future goaltender of the Buffalo Sabres. Signing off. You guys have a great week.
I'm Jeff Woods, and I'm shining a light on music and the rock stars who make it.
He just was one of those people. He stood out.
He was a magic guy. He really was a magic guy. We all have force. He had the same amount of force as we all have.
This was before Led Zeppelin. Robert was full on. I mean, he was Led Zeppelin without the band behind him. He had the hair, the jeans, the whole thing, you know. And he was amazing.
The Records and Rockstars podcast, heard around the world and yours to hear wherever you get podcasts. All the episodes from JeffWoodsRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Logan Anderson, host of the Say the Damn Score podcast. On my show, I deep dive into the sports broadcasting business by, you guessed it, talking to sportscasters. The show has featured big names like Bob Costas, Kenny Albert, and Vern Lundquist, as well as many up-and-coming broadcasters who you may not know yet, but you will know soon. Whether you're looking for professional development as a sportscaster, different career paths, or if you just want to be entertained by hearing some of the best storytellers in the world tell their own stories, this podcast is for you. You can subscribe to the podcast on all major podcast platforms, or you can visit our website, saythedamnscore.com.